There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that's more super than your stupid bat. Joining me today, just, you know, as you can tell by my intro, is Michael Bailey. Mike Bailey. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Been a long time since we've gotten to talk.
Oh, yeah, it has been. Mike, can I call you Mike?
Yes, you can call me Mike.
Okay, can I call you Ul?
If you want to call me Ul, I don't know if I'd respond to it right away. It might take a few times for me to start, but, you know...
We go.
We've known each other long enough.
We go back a fair amount of ways. My favorite memory of him at this now is a video that we have of Man in Motion at Trader Vic's. Some, I don't know, it's probably like 6 years ago at this point, 7 years ago. The Thursday night before con starts. Big Mike used to come out there and sing. He doesn't anymore now that he's on, you know, America's Got Talent. And he's all famous and whatnot. We were all singing Man in Motion along with him. Do you remember that at all? Probably not.
It's actually I do, because while I drink at Trader Vic's, there was only 1 year that I got good and hammered.
And that was it.
I think the. And I think it was the last time Shag was there. The Mai Tais were just weapons grade that night.
Oh.
And I had about three of them, and it was just like I was actually stumbling getting back to my room.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about Trader Vic's is that the Mai Tais can be either incredibly watered down or incredibly powerful. There's like in between.
It's funny because I got my wife a screwdriver, and I think they put some orange juice in that glass of vodka. I'm not quite sure. I actually had to go back and get a glass of juice so that it wouldn't be just pure alcohol. So you know that guy from that does that show about going and cleaning up bars would hate Trader Vic's at Dragon Con.
Yeah,
they waste alcohol like you wouldn't believe. It's great being here. I'm very happy.
Yeah. So, let's just get right into it. How long have you been attending Dragon Con? You're pretty much a local, right? So,
yeah, I'm about 30 minutes away from Atlanta on the south side. So the news rarely gets to us when it comes to weather, unless it's really bad. I don't know why that is. That just is. But we went to our first Dragon Con in 2001,
mm-hmm.
and my wife and I, and we had to miss the next 2 years for a couple of reasons, but we've been going since 2004 straight. It's now our Labor Day tradition now. And we usually get a hotel room because it's just so much easier than having to drive back and forth to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though it's a weekend and traffic is later, it's still a giant pain in the ass.
Oh, well, so. Yeah. Plus it's also, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, they started really bringing in the Labor Day football traffic, football mm-hmm. games. And so, you know, it started to become chaos down there during Dragon Con weekend. We just call it Dragon Con weekend now, not Labor Day weekend. So you've been going for that long, and you are now officially, were you last year or no, officially a attending professional?
No, I applied last year. I got rejected. I have no idea why. And this year, I guess I just kind of emphasized certain other things that, you know, mm-hmm. that I've done with podcasting. Mm-hmm. And I was accepted, and it's really cool. The main reason why I wanted to do that is that it's easier for the people that, you know, the track directors to put you on programming.
Right. Because you're no stranger to, you're no stranger to being on the programming. It's just that you, no one knew you were there.
Yeah. It's just, it's really weird. Years ago when I first started going to Dragon Con, I was pretty good friends with the guy that was running the comics track at the time, mm-hmm. and kind of, over a couple of years kind of worked my way up. That's actually how, in a very indirect way, how we met.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Shag came to one of the panels, Shag and Serve and a couple others, and I ended up going up against him and Simon with the in a trivia thing, and that indirectly led to tonight. But he was removed, and so for a couple years I was just kind of meandering around. But I managed to kind of get friendly with the people who do the American Sci-Fi Classics track, mm-hmm. Joe and Gary.
Yeah.
Hey guys, who are just amazing people, and they welcomed me into their little crew. And for the last about 3 or 4 years, I've been doing a lot of like last year, I was super busy with doing panels, and this year it looks like it's shaping up to be kind of similar too. And I reached out even to the new comics track guy, and I've got a couple things that I'm doing over there too. So it's a lot of fun. I like being part of those things because it's more of a direct way of people that come to Dragon Con instead of just kind of wandering around and asking to take pictures of costumes.
Mm-hmm. So you are very involved in podcasting. How many podcasts do you have? I think you might have just slightly less than Kevin Batchelder and about 20 less than Shag.
Recently I put all the stuff I do under an umbrella called the Fortress of Baileytube Podcasting Network,
mm-hmm.
Which you can find at fortressofbaileytube.com. There you can find Views from the Long Box, which is the first show I ever did. It's 10 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in August, I'm going to be celebrating that 10 year. And, I can publicly thank you now, and I will then, because one of the main reasons I was able to get off the ground at all was your technical help in getting certain things going.
Yeah. Which is weird. Cause I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. So, you know,
well,
there's that.
You knew enough to get to help
to get you going. That's great. I've launched 1,000 ships, but yet I'm still in a rowboat. So,
but,
oh, go on.
But I also do a show called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, mm-hmm. Which is on again, off again, just because of me and my co-host Jeffrey Taylor, our lives can't meet up sometimes. But we talk about the post-crisis Superman over there. Recently started up a bi-weekly show, or a twice-monthly show, I guess I should say, called The Overlooked Dark Knight, mm-hmm. which I do with Andy Leyland, where we talk about Bronze Age Batman comics. And at the very end of July, I will be launching another Superman show called It All Comes Back to Superman, which is a monthly show where I just talk about something involving Superman. It's just, you know, the title is basically just a Twitter hashtag that I joke around with because when I'm sitting there watching television, I will invariably bring what I'm watching, even if it has nothing to do with Superman directly, I will bring it back to Superman.
Well, so, you are a world-renowned Superman apologist. So,
and I can say with certainty that you were the one that gave me that
I did. So let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing as far as panels over the last couple of years. Then we'll get into what we think you're going to be doing this year as far as panels, because of course nobody has their actual schedule ready yet. So, what are some of the panels you were on last year?
One of the ones that I really liked doing last year is one that I will be doing again this year and that I did the year before that. It's called the Superhero Versary, where I just put together a little PowerPoint presentation of superheroes. For the last 2 years, it's heroes and villains that were celebrating their 75th birthday. But this year, because there's less of that, we're kind of stretching things. So we're going to be talking about Batgirl because it's her 50th anniversary this year. And that traditionally has been 8:30 on Monday. So not exactly the best attended panel, but last year it got a write up on a website. So I was pretty excited about that. And I couldn't do it without the other people on the panels with me, because last year I had Kevin and Gina and a couple other people talking about the characters. I also did, which I have not released as an episode yet, but I need to. We did a Batman 66 at 50, which was also a lot of fun. And I'm trying to think of all I did. It's all blurring. Oh, I got to be on a panel with Larry Hama last year. G.I. Joe panel. And by being on a panel with Larry Hama, I mean, I asked a question, the other panelist asked a question, and we just let him talk. Because when you have the creator of G.I. Joe and the writer of the comic book there, you get out of his way and just let him do all the talking there. What else did we do?
Was I hallucinating, or did you do a roll a panel as well?
The American Sci-Fi Classics track is... The problem with it is that there is so much to talk about, mm-hmm, that they can't, there's not enough programming. So what Gary and Joe do is they, and we're having a couple of these this year, is we're having a couple different roll-up panels where somebody creates a giant 20-sided die, and an audience member rolls it, and whatever topic comes up, we talk about for a couple of minutes.
Yep.
So last year we did like classic sci-fi movies, and then a more contemporary, I believe it was going back to 1986, we did a panel on. And a couple of those from previous years are out there on video too. If you go over to Retro Blasting, that Michael French and Melinda do, which is a great YouTube channel. They have recorded a couple of those, so you get to hear me doing a Wilford Brimley impersonation about him getting some. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I think I was passing in the hall and I stuck my head in as I was going through, and I saw you up there. I think you were talking about Transformers, the movie.
We did a panel and then we watched the film.
Oh, okay. So that's what that was. All right. Yeah.
And I was also one of the helpers on the Dirty Dirty Con Con Game show that the Phantom Troublemaker puts on. Mm-hmm. Completely filthy, adults only, after 10 type of thing, where it's like a game show similar to what the Neat Coffee people did, just a lot filthier, which is amazing when you think about it.
So what do you, are there, for, let's, before we get into what you're doing this year, are there any guests? Have you had a chance to look at the guest list for this year? And are there any that you've absolutely got to see this year?
I am super excited that the Birds of Prey are coming to Dragon Con.
Especially
Dina Meyer and Ashley Scott, because Dina Meyer, when that show was announced back in 2002 and they announced that Dina Meyer was going to play Barbara Gordon, it was one of those moments where the casting is so perfect that you might as well just retire the character after that, because they're really not going to get anybody better to play that character, both physically and the acting chops. And while that show had kind of a clunky middle part to its 13 episode run, I really liked the beginning and I really liked the end. So it's kind of cool that they're, you know, we're getting them in a reunion on like the 15 year anniversary of the show premiering on the, back when it was the WB. Good Lord, why does that seem so long ago? And yet it wasn't.
Because we're old,
but
that's why. I got news for you. Charles. I know you're younger than I am, but you're not that much younger than I am. And we're old.
But those are the main people there. There's not too many comic book people that I'm excited about seeing. Tom Zoller is coming again this year, a book called Love in Capes, and does a bunch of other really cool little, he drew for My Little Pony as well. And he's just a super great guy. It's going to be great talking to him again. But other than that, I really haven't seen anybody that stood out like, oh my God, I need to meet that person. But I know that there's a lot of cool people coming, because they always get a lot of the CW.
Yeah, pretty much all of the Flash cast is almost all of the Flash cast, and most of Legends of Tomorrow is going to be there.
Except not Victor Garber, who is very expensive, from what I understand.
Yeah. So, well, and in the way that in, I don't want to go into this because I know that I'll get a correction from Regina at some point, but they don't necessarily. I think they still get a guarantee. Again, I'm speaking out of my butt right now. And it might be higher, and it might be higher for people like that. But I mean, you got to think Stan Lee's expensive too. So I assume you have met Stan Lee at least once in your life, right?
I have not met Stan Lee.
What?
Here's the thing. I hate standing in line.
Mm.
And all those years, and this may be the year that I have to do something about that.
Yeah.
Because for years I always said, "Oh, Adam West will come again in the future."
Oof.
And now I never will ever get that chance. Though it does remind me of the time I scared the hell out of my wife at Trader Vic's because Burt Ward walked by me and it was like a religious experience. I don't get dumbstruck by celebrities that often, but it's Burt freaking Ward.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like one of those things that I grabbed her and she thought something was wrong. And she still yells at me about this. So this might be the year that I pony up the money and, you know, get the photo op or the autograph, because he's not getting younger is the way I'm going to say
no,
that.
Yeah. And unfortunately he's just, and I'm hoping that this doesn't change his plans or anything. He just, you know, lost his wife of forever. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's rumored several times to have said that this is his last con, this is his last con, this is the last con. He still keeps going. Oh, by the way, I have you seen Homecoming?
No, I have not seen Homecoming yet. I am terrible. We don't get to movies like we used to.
Yeah.
Though it was filmed 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah, most everything. I mean, I'm surprised that you know. Oh, actually, it was really upsetting. I don't know if it's upsetting because it's really just, it's a movie. It's just film. But a couple of people posted, you know, footage from the upcoming Avengers Infinity War that's being filmed down there in Atlanta, or up there in Atlanta from here. And I was like, I don't really want to see this raw footage. I don't want to see anything that isn't, you know, already A, produced, or B, you know, gonna spoil anything for me, because I kind of know how Infinity War is gonna go. Although I guess they haven't stayed necessarily true to everything, all their stories, but they've been fairly close. So there's that. Well, the reason why I brought that up is because the Stan Lee, I actually think that the Stan Lee cameo, because of course there has to be one, was actually one of his best ones in there. Other than, did you see Guardians 2 yet?
No, which again is, I'm a terrible geek this year. I really am. We just haven't gotten out to
it. It'll be out on DVD soon. I think it actually comes out this month. Maybe. DVD. Listen to me.
I was about to say. DVD. Get that Betamax player out, John?
Yes. I'm going to go buy it on VHS. What do you mean? Betamax. What is this? Silly thing you talk about, Betamax. VHS is where it's at. So anyway, yes, DVD. The Blu-ray, it'll be streaming.
Can we get it on that?
That's what I'm going to do that. His cameo in there was actually pretty good too, but I think that his cameo in Spider-Man Homecoming was actually his best work, artistically.
Well, it is weird living where I live now, because I can literally go out, get out my driveway, turn right on the main road, go down two lights, turn left, and 5 minutes later is the studio.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's crazy, isn't it?
I have not had any celebrity spotting things yet, but we deal with the production people all the time at work.
Oh, really?
Just because they need office supplies, so that's where they. And we're the only game in Peachtree City, so there you go.
Well, there you are. Since we're on this topic, and I really hate to go down there, cause we're not really, this isn't really anti, not, down Dragon Con, but, Dragon Con path. But, did you see Wonder Woman?
No, not yet.
Okay. Have you seen, let's go back. Let's see how far back he goes. Batman versus Superman. Of course you saw that, right?
Yes, I've seen Batman versus Superman. I saw that opening day.
Of course you did. I'm contractually obligated. Your quick hot take on that. I know that probably
it's not for
it's,
me.
It's a thousand times. Yeah.
It wasn't the movie I wanted it to be. The way, you know, the problem with talking about Batman v Superman is in kind of the circles I run in online. Mm-hmm. It is basically tantamount to talking about religion or politics in mixed company.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt, but the way I view that film is that, you ever have a group of friends and some new guy starts hanging out with you,
mm-hmm.
and like, not everybody is down with him, but you're like, no man, give him a chance. He's a great guy. Come on in. And then once you accept him into the group, he starts hitting on your girlfriend. That's what Zack Snyder did to me.
Oh, wow.
I defended him for Man of Steel.
I liked Man of Steel.
I defended that movie. Yeah, I defended that movie up and down. There, I have problems with it, but I'm like, no, no, this is just a new take, and we're going to see how it goes. And he took all that goodwill, and he just flushed it straight down the toilet through Batman v Superman and gave me a terrible Lex Luthor. He took some of the greatest Batman and Superman stories and did just like quick hits from them and did them poorly.
Yeah.
The only thing I liked about that film, truly liked about that film, was Wonder Woman.
And
which is why I'm looking forward to seeing the Wonder Woman film. But she was like the only thing that I was like, oh, they got that right. But other than that, it was just, it's just, and it's not against anybody in the cast, because I thought Affleck was perfectly fine as Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like the Batman. And everyone's like, well, he's going on a journey. I go, I don't care about that. This is not a television series. This is a movie, and I only get one every 3 years. So do it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've made, and again, Henry Cavill, I think, would be awesome if they wrote his character correctly.
If he wasn't so morose all the time, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, that's all directing, because if you watch any, you watch his other stuff that he does, I mean, Man from U.N.C.L.E., he's freaking awesome in that film. And he's not all, you know, I'm so sad. I'm so sad. No, he's fun, and he's got, you know, and you know, Superman doesn't need to be always upset and sad. It seems, anyway. All right, moving on from that. Because we could go down that path forever. So this year, do you already have some panels lined up, or is it just more of the same?
If everything goes right, I will be doing a Superman related panel on the comic book track.
Mm-hmm.
Comics and pop art. I forget what exactly they call that.
Yeah, I think it's comics and pop art now. Yeah.
And I will be part of another tribute panel to Adam West if that goes. So far, the American Sci-Fi Classics track is getting everything together. So not anything is set in stone. In fact, as it was presented to the group, as we were being told what was going on, nothing is final until the panel is over.
Right. That's the motto around here as well.
So it's just like one of those things. But I'll be doing another superhero versary thing Monday at 8:30 in the morning. So if you want to get up early on the last day of con, come on out to the Sci-Fi Classics track. I know if everything goes well, one night we're going to have basically we lock the door and we're going to put on the Star Wars holiday special, and you have to ask to leave. And if you stay, I think you get prizes. So.
God, we tried watching that again. Tried watching that the other day, or I mean, not the other day, but like a couple of months ago with the kids, trying to show them what horror this was. I finally got my kids back from DCF. They
good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah. So no. God, that thing is horrible. You know, we joke about it. And we say, oh, you know, it's, but then you know. And then you think, oh, in your mind, you're still like, okay, it's really not as bad as I remember it being. And then you see it again. And then for whatever reason, you forget about it 5 years later and then try to see it again. It's like, this thing is
just I feel
just
the same way about Cadbury cream eggs. I've managed to fight it off the last like 5 years, but every year for almost 30 years, it would be Easter time and I would see one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, oh, it can't be as bad as I remember. And then you bite into it and that warm vomit just comes like into your throat and you're just like, no, this is a terrible idea. What the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, that's why I do have Cadbury. I usually get them after Easter when they're like, you know, 20 cents a piece. and I put them in the fridge because, yeah, otherwise that goo coming through your going through your mouth is just like, ugh. But they're 20 cents. So, you know, I think then my wife eventually just starts going, are you going to eat these at some point? I'm like, well, you know, maybe.
Yeah, mix them up with some ice cream. That might be some good.
I'll get around to it eventually, I'm sure. It's now the next Easter. There's still 20 left in here, John. Well, you know. Anyway, so do you have any memories from Dragon Con? Anybody that you met or any particular panel that really sticks out in your mind there?
Well, I'm going to be mushy for a second.
Okay.
A lot of from like 2006 on, a lot of the great memories I have of Dragon Con is hanging out with the Unique Geek crew.
Mm. Well, thank you.
We always had the dinners were always fun. And just going, getting to meet the scientist and the, why can't I remember their name from Mystery Science Theater 3000? Frank and Dr. Forrester.
Yeah.
Getting to meet them at one of the Need Coffee events. Mm-hmm. And just go up, instead of them being behind a table and all that, just go up and introduce myself and say how much I love their show. That will always stick out because that was such a huge part of my my teenage years. Getting to meeting the woman that plays Caitlin Snow with Shag a couple years ago was a lot of fun, just because she was so nice and looked so overwhelmed. Mm. And it was great for Shag to be able to talk about, you know, how his daughter loves the character.
Oh yeah, I remember that because there was a nice picture, and then there was some tweeting going back and forth.
Yeah. So meeting John Wesley Shipp and William Catt in the same year, back in 2007. That was a definite highlight because I love The Greatest American Hero and The Flash. And now John Wesley Shipp's coming again this year. So yeah. I'll probably win my way over to his table.
He's The Flash again.
Yeah, it's
everything
so
old
insane,
is new again.
But
yeah.
He looks great.
Oh, he does. I mean, it's God, the whole story behind the original Flash is sort of, you know, it's weird because if I recall the story as it goes, he was the reason why basically it didn't continue.
From what I remember and what he has said and what I've read in interviews with the producers, Bilson and DeMaio, that show was very expensive to do.
Well, I imagine so. Yes.
It was like $1.7 million an episode in 1990. So they, you know, CBS just didn't want to spend the money on it, is what I understand. And also, from what I understand, CBS waited to the last possible minute to tell them they weren't coming back.
Mm.
So I don't know if it was him, because he, in listening to interviews with him and the fact that he's part of the new show, he said in 2007 when he was on a panel that, he isn't ashamed of the show because he was able to do something after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a career after that show went off the air. So it's not like the brightest spot in his acting career. So, you know, he gets to kind of bask in the memories of doing the show. And he has a lot of really funny stories about Mark Hamill.
who of course is God, the guys that, what's his name? Brunelli. Yeah. That's running Berlanti. Thank you. That's running, well, all the CW, superhero shows at this point. It's some genius work over there with getting Hamill back again to play Trickster, mm-hmm. getting, Shipp back to play, well, his dad, first his dad now, spoiler alert, Garrett, right? Garrett? Is that right? Did I get the name right?
Yeah, Jay Garrett.
Jay Garrett. Yeah. Yes. Is and, you know, and just the the sheer brilliance of doing that is really nice, because if you watch The Flash, it is for its time was really well done. I mean, given, you know, given mm-hmm. the you know, what kind of computers were we using in 1990? I'm not even sure that we were, you know, so
yeah, the computer, the full effects of The Flash in 1990 were still, you know, a lot of green screen and a lot mm-hmm. of type of thing. It amazes me now that if the CW wanted to, they could just basically run superhero programming Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just insane to think about, you know, years ago, all we had was Smallville and that was it. And now we have like 15 shows, and Marvel's got all the stuff on Netflix, which is some I like, some I don't, that I've seen. I had to stop watching Jessica Jones because it was just upsetting.
No, that is a sort of...
It was good, but it was just emotionally draining after three episodes.
You had to stop watching Iron Fist because it sucked. I mean, because it was...
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually sat through all of Iron Fist. It wasn't as bad as everybody made it out to be, but it was not the best of the ones that they had.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we're at a point where we have so much. You know, and it's what I liken it to is you got to look at these shows as like picking up a comic book series.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are going to appeal to you. Some of them aren't. And sometimes their direction isn't something you're going to like, but hopefully in the next season it'll turn around. And, you know, like Arrow's going into what, season 15 at this point, I think?
I think they're now on season 15 or 93. I don't know. I think I bailed out once the fifth Arrow showed up. I know that's not the case, but it seems like, I don't know, once a 20th person, it's like ER. At some point, you know, you shut down the place because on ER, you know, every week there's a bomb going off. You know, maybe it's time to shut down the hospital. You know, maybe it's time, once you've resurrected the 30th person, it might be time to you know.
Once you lose Clooney and Edwards, yeah. You know, you just, you know, Noah Wiley's great, but I don't know if he's going to carry the show.
I'm sure that Arrow is still fine, but I haven't watched the last two seasons. I sort of just get recaps and follow along that way.
I only, in the past couple of years, the only ones that I've seen really are the crossover episodes.
Yeah.
Which last year was a lot of fun, just having, you know, all of them teamed up. And I, of course, was geeking out that Brandon Routh and screen together, and they even made the joke that you look like my cousin, which I just laughed and laughed at and then felt guilty about because it was a stupid joke, but I still loved it so much. So no, I wish there was more guests that I was excited to see. And maybe, you know, when I get closer to it, usually when I get excited is when I'm like kind of walking the walk of fame,
right?
And see somebody. And that's when I like, they're freaking there. So it's just kind of, it's not like my first Dragon Con where I walked by Lorenzo Lamas and it was just like, wow, that was disappointing. You know, it just seems like now it's.
Nope. You cut out. So, there,
are they going to be in the, are they going to be in the Marriott again this year, or have they moved them again?
Oh, the Walk of Fame. Yeah. As far as I know, they are still in the Marriott. Well, once we get someone on from the front office or main programming, they'll be able to, which would be Regina for main programming. But
let me ask you a question regarding Homecoming. Was it weird to see the Vulture descending from the Marriott?
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't think that scene made the movie.
Oh, okay.
Much like, I don't know if you've seen the little meme that's going around with Deadpool. And there's a, remember the scene in the trailer with Iron Man flying next to Spider-Man through the city?
Yeah, that was never intended to go in the film.
I don't. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so. It was. It certainly was not in the film. I don't think the Vulture. I don't recall it being on the screen. I do recall that Michael Keaton was a freaking awesome Vulture. But I don't recall them ever being in the hotel. I have seen the footage, from the on the trailer and in screen captures. I tell you what's weirder is seeing that hotel in Hunger Games and realizing that's pretty much what happens every Labor Day weekend is some people are never leaving here.
No, it was funny because at the gym I go to. If you're walking up to color your Netflix. And for a while there, they were just constantly showing the second Hunger Games movie. And I walk in one day and I get on the treadmill and I look up and I see them walking towards the elevators. And I'm like, wait a second. And it took me like completely out of the film.
Yeah, you know that it's make-believe when you actually walk. They walked right onto the elevator.
Yes, I know it's make-believe, but still, it's weird.
I'm just saying, because the only experience we have with those elevators is you ain't walking right on. Those things don't show up when you press the button.
And at no point does Jenna Malone get in and drop her dress in front of you. Though other people might, which is one of the great things about Dragon Con. See, Dragon Con, San Diego Comic Con's going on this weekend.
Right.
And I have a bunch of friends out there, and they're really excited about being out there. And every year I'm asked the same question, you know, do you want to go to Comic Con? And my answer is always at some point, because here's the thing. Dragon Con is not just a convention. It's an experience. It's something that becomes a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I will ever get that from another large convention ever again.
Probably not.
It's just such a... I mean, there are jerks. I'm not going to lie. And there are people who stop in the middle of the hallway to take a picture and you want to punch them dead in the face. But mostly it's such a communal experience. It's run by fans. And, you know, the programming is dictated by the people that love the material. And it's just great. So going to Comic-Con, it seems like it would just be soulless. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's what it strikes me.
It would be like, I think, and I'm with you. I do want to eventually get to a San Diego Comic-Con. But I think it would be the equivalent of going to Epcot and checking out London at Epcot, and then go into actual London, which would be in this case Dragon Con. So yes, it's a nice facsimile, and it's nice and clean, and it's all made up, and there are I'm sure it's really nice, and it's a good, cool place to go. But yeah, it seems very controlled. It is a corporate show at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. It is really a corporate show, and there's nothing wrong with that because we get some of the best stuff coming out of there. Right. Because that's where all of our favorite stuff is going to promote because it's near Hollywood, which by the way, seems like now, Atlanta might be, you know, starting to take away some of that Hollywood vibe, or at least Georgia in general. But you know, so it's easy for a lot of the people that work in the industry to get there. So it's just not the same. It's not the same, basically. You're going there for the spectacle versus going there for the family.
Yeah, exactly. And from what I understand and in talking to some of the people that come into work, it's Yollywood out here.
Hollywood. Oh, gotcha.
With y'all, yeah, it's the humor of a small Georgia town giving Hollywood tax breaks so that they'll build studio space here.
It is crazy the number of times I see now Made in Georgia at the end of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy here. You know, when you go to a comic shop and you're talking to the owner and he leaves and the owner tells you, yeah, he's one of the location scouts.
Wow.
And it's just like, holy crap, that's the closest I'm going to get to it, but very good.
I mean, you know, Mrs. Widge, mm-hmm. She worked on I actually saw her name in the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer, or credits rather.
I was not aware of that, but it doesn't surprise me because it involves Widge.
Yeah, well, so. she's a seamstress, so, or a costumer, so she mostly works on Walking Dead, but she got a gig out there. I mean, so it's great for the arts community too, mm-hmm. obviously, because there's a lot of folks that were working theater or whatnot, and now they need local people to fill in those spots. Maybe not necessarily a lot of directors of photography or anything like that, but certainly the jobs that need to get filled that you don't haul in people from out of state to do. So
that's really cool. A lot of people are moving to this area too. One of the guys that I got into a long conversation with is one of the head guys to do the makeup for Drax the Destroyer.
So
because he was
wow,
he was having
that's a lot of work.
He was getting he was getting every show they do. He has like individualized like Marvel trading cards made for his crew.
Oh, really?
I walked up to the, this is funny as hell. I walk out from coming back from lunch and I look at the computer and I go, "Hey, that's the Marvel Series 3 trading card thing." And the dude just lit up. Guess I'm the first person he's dealt with in the, because I was working in the printing department at the time. I'm the first person that recognized what it was. So he and I just talked for like a good long time about it. And from what I understand, once they have everything set up, Drax is an assembly line where they just kind of go around him. But super nice guy. And these are the... These are the weird things. Like one morning I was printing these, this couple came in and they had all of these, they wanted 200 copies of Russo Brothers Pizza. And they were the caterers for Avengers Infinity War. And the Russo Brothers loved their pizza. So they designed their own box tops.
Oh,
for the crew. It's Russo Brothers Pizza. So it's really weird around here now. Because you bump up against it so much, and if I didn't have a full time job, I'd probably go into like doing extra work and stuff like that in the movies and on the shows. But I just can't get that to work. But it's really exciting to kind of be at ground zero of like the Marvel movie movement now, because they are all, except Doctor Strange, I think they've all filmed here since Ant-Man.
Yeah. Well, Doctor Strange wasn't shot there?
It shot in New York for a lot of it.
Oh, okay.
But the studio work, I forget where, because...
I could have sworn that it was...
It was one of the movies at the gym over and over again. So I saw the end credits a lot. And a lot of it was shot, I think, in England in studio space there. But,
okay.
Otherwise, it's all here. Ant-Man was here. Civil War was here. Guardians 2 was here. Infinity War, I think, is still here.
Oh, yeah. I know that for a fact based off of what's going on Facebook right now. All right. Before we wrap up, two questions for you. First of all, do you have any pro tips? Is there anything that you would tell folks that they have to do or that they should do when attending Dragon Con, be it... personal hygiene. Yes, we get it. Everyone take a shower, please. Or some other pro tip.
I'd have stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. There's plenty of water stations around. There's no reason for you not to bring your own water bottle and fill it up.
Keep with traffic. Do not stop.
yes, for the dear God, please.
And I say that not only because it's annoying, but it's also, at this point with the crowds we get, it's a safety thing. Mm-hmm. If you want something to eat, the Peachtree Center is your friend, because you'll never find a seat, especially on Saturday and Sunday. But they've got plenty of things for you. That's at least where you can grab something to eat or whatever. Here is a pro tip. Okay, this is what I discovered last year, and I was really excited about. drink.
You cut
codes in the hotels.
Oop, do it again. Say it again because you cut out for a second there.
When you buy like drinks from the places in the hotels, like the Papa John stands, it's like $50 for a Coke.
Yeah.
There is a 24-hour CVS in Peachtree Center.
Mm-hmm.
That is where I bought all of my drinks last year on my way to the panels. I just stopped there, got what I needed, and went. It was cheaper, and it was less of a line, and it was just more convenient.
Yeah, because CVS doesn't there, really have... CVS doesn't really have that markup, the Dragon Con surcharge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... And they're open 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So if you need something in the middle of the night, which sometimes you will, I'm just saying, you know, alcohol or whatever, the CVS at the end of Peachtree Center is your friend. And really and truly, just have fun. Don't be a jerk. Realize that there are people who don't get mad at the people who have handicapped badges. Even though they have a problem and it's none of your damn business anyways. Maybe I'm feel a little personal about this, but just don't be a jerk. Essentially. That's my pro tip. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. We talk to disability services every year and we kind of go through this where, you know, sometimes, and actually often people have, issues that you can't see. So don't assume that they're gaming the system or anything like that. It's just they've been vetted, quote unquote vetted. I mean, I'm going to say quote unquote vetted because there's no vetting. There's people that know the disability services people are really good and they know what questions they can ask, what questions they can't ask. But the point is that even though you don't see an issue, doesn't mean that there isn't one that's there. So, and Lee will tell you that she suffers from fibromyalgia really badly, and you can't see that, but she's in pain. So, though she's a director. By the way, those of you that are wondering where Lee is tonight, she's just life. Things are happening. We haven't separated.
You can just tell everybody it's fine. You know, the restraining order is still in effect for some reason, even though we worked
weirdly. It's on her side, but So anyway, but we go through that again every year.
Oh, one last tip, and this is really important. If you are there on Thursday, take the guided tour that Dragon Con offers now.
Yes.
Because there are people that will walk you through and show you all of the hotels and where everything is.
Yeah, Kevin.
Which will make your experience.
Yeah, way better. Kevin, we spoke with Kevin earlier. Kevin and Kim run, mostly, I think mostly Kim does. Kevin just hangs out. I'm just kidding. Kevin, I'm kidding. they run the newbie group. Even at this point, sometimes some of us might need a refresher anyway. I've said for years, it wasn't until 2 years ago on this podcast when someone pointed out to me that Marriott starts with an M and M is middle. That's how you can remember where the Marriott is. I still can't remember which one's on either end, but I can remember where the Marriott is. It's the middle hotel, for years. And this is an ongoing.
They both start for H's. So
yes, I know
that. That makes it even more confusing.
Right. So I don't know where either of the other two are, but I can know where Marriott is. and literally I've been going forever. And I still get confused at where things are. So, you know, maybe those of us that are, you know, getting along might want to go take that tour as well, just to remember where the hell everything is. All right. So we've been playing a game with our hosts, our guests rather. And we usually play it against Lee. You play against Lee, but what we're going to do is we're just going to see, how high of a score you can get, just off the top of your head. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a topic. Okay. And you just have to list off as many, up to 10, as many of that topic as you can without pausing or giving any too long of a thought process to it. So here's the first one. Animals with superpowers. Go.
Oh, Crypto, Streaky, Prody, Comet. Ace the Bad Hound doesn't have superpowers, but, you know, he's awesome anyways. And doesn't Benji have superpowers too? With being able to think and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So,
I'm gonna have to call it there. Six. That's not bad. All right. So let's go with fictional comic book cities.
Oh, Opal, Gotham, Central, Keystone, Metropolis. Gotham, Bloodhaven. I think I said Gotham twice
yes,
there.
You did.
I apologize. Gotham of Earth 2, but we won't count it anyways.
Someone punched a wall there too, so.
Star City, Gateway City, Capital City.
One more.
Oh, I can do this. Central City, I already said.
All right, I got the call. Nine. You got to nine there. Not bad. And let's see. Comic book doctors.
Dr. Fate, Dr. Strange, Dr. Doom, Dr. Midnight, Dr. Midnight with a hyphen. Because there are two. It's two. I'm good on this. Dr. Occult, Dr. Cyber, Dr. Dr. Destiny, but he's a villain. I don't know if that counts.
Just say comic book doctors, not say villain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dr. Destiny, Dr. Doolittle. I'm sure there was a Dr. Doolittle comic, so I'm going to count that one.
All right, so that's 10. Good job. Wow, you blew through those. I'm pretty sure Lee is glad that she wasn't here to have to counter that, because what we would do is go back and forth. She would get to one, and that would be it. I'm sure there was a Doctor Who as well, but he's technically not a doctor.
Yes. So, and the more pedantic Who fan will tell you that's not even his name. So there you go.
Fortunately. Hey, by the way, just so you know, I hate all doctors equally. So I don't care. It's where I'm going with that. I hate Doctor Who, as if anybody doesn't know. I hate it in a cheerful way. For the record.
Yeah, you don't hate it in a mean-spirited way. You just hate it just to piss off all your friends who like it.
Yeah.
So,
I guess me and Sylvester McCoy, we're tight buds.
Yeah.
I like to tell it to Shag all the time because
I know.
I met him and had no idea who he was. No, just...
I remember that story. Yeah. I remember Shag being very pissed off that year.
All right, so... thank you again, Bailey, for joining us. I appreciate it. Let everyone know where they can find you on the Twitters, on the Facebooks, on the interwebs, on those kind of things, and your podcasts.
The main site is fortressofbailey2.com, which is pretty much set up. There you can find all of the various shows that I mentioned at the beginning of this. On Twitter, I am at Bailey's Podcasts. Usually I just use it to promote the latest thing that I'm releasing, though every once in a while I tweet like a picture or something. And then I love Twitter because it's a way to kind of interact with comic book professionals in a more direct way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not in a stalking way, but just, you know, it's just kind of neat to be able
That's
to.
That's not what the judge said.
The judge isn't here, John.
Oh, okay.
I am on Facebook, you know, Michael Bailey, and Views from the Long Box, Fortress of Bailey 2, and From Crisis to Crisis all have their own groups, as well as Overlooked Dark Knight. So you can find me there as well.
Sweet. All right. Well, again, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I look forward to seeing you, which is now, 43 days from now?
Yeah, it's getting there. This is, as we get closer to August, I get more excited, and it will be cool seeing everybody again this year.
Have you finished your... Have you finished your Blackbird cosplay yet?
and I'm running into some technical problems with that, so I'm going to have to probably put it off for another year.
Oh man, I was looking forward to seeing it
because I really don't want to be like that one year we were at the Hilton and somebody was hammering in their and not in a sexual way, actually literally hammering something out at 3 o'clock in the morning in the room next to you. So get your damn cosplay done before you get to con, and that's all I'm going to say.
All right, buddy. Again, nice talking to you. And as always, this is John for the Absently and Mr. Michael Bailey. Check him out. He's got lots of podcasts. Saying until podcastesses. I said podcastesses. Until next time. Peace.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.
Podcastesses.
That's the official plural of podcasts. It's podcastesses.
What is a gaggle of podcasts? Podcastesses? That's what it is. All right.